Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
With a dry and breezy afternoon, we have a red flag warning in effect for parts of the viewing area. I'll show you what you can do to help keep our fire danger down this afternoon.
Plus, First Lady Jill Biden is returning to the Triangle today to tout the president's initiative on women's health, her message to voters, and how her visit could affect traffic.
Also, the number of people living with Alzheimer's is on the rise. What a new report reveals about the increase here in North Carolina and the toll it's taking on caregivers.
Polling from WRAL earlier this month shows health care is a top issue for voters on both sides of the aisle. And now First Lady Jill Biden is coming to the Triangle to speak about that issue. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. WRAL's Monica Casey shows us what to expect from this White House visit.
President Joe Biden signed an executive order earlier this week focused on women's health research. Now his wife is coming to RTP to talk more about the needs. President Biden launched the White House Initiative on Women's Health Research, pointing to an historic lack of funding for women's health issues. The White House says it's the most comprehensive set of executive actions ever taken to expand research on women's health. The executive order increases funding to improve research and data collection across a variety of government agencies. It calls for unmet needs to be addressed and new research on women's midlife health, including conditions such as arthritis, heart attacks, and osteoporosis. Today's visit by the First Lady comes less than a month after a visit from the Vice President to Durham and a week ahead of a fundraiser for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. This state is getting a lot of attention from the White House right now. The First Lady's remarks will start at 1:15, and we will be streaming them on our website. In Durham, Monica Casey, WRAL News.
This visit from the First Lady is happening ahead of a visit from President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris next week. So how are North Carolina voters feeling about their choices for president? WRAL conducted an exclusive news poll just after the primary. 50% of likely voters said they would back Donald Trump, while 45% said they would support Biden. You can find more results from our exclusive WRAL news poll in the NC Capital section of WRAL.com.
We have dry, breezy conditions this afternoon, but that will bring a high fire danger. Elizabeth Gardner is on the WRAL weather patio with a look at counties that are under red flag warnings. Elizabeth.
Our northern counties are under red flag warnings, and the rest of the viewing area has high fire danger as well. Let's take a look at what some of those wind speeds are right now. We're looking at 18 miles per hour gusting there in Roxborough, gusting to 17 there in South Hill, 22 in the Triangle, and 23 over in Rocky Mount and Wilson. So it's definitely a breezy afternoon for us. We're likely to continue to gust 20 to 25 as we head through the afternoon. Some of the southern counties are not seeing gusts right now, but we are seeing steady wind anywhere from about 5 to 15 miles per hour. We take a look at our gust forecast as we get through the afternoon. Again, we're going to be gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour. That does start to taper off closer to midnight, but it's likely to be breezy on through the afternoon. And until 8 o'clock, we have a red flag warning in effect for our northern counties. That does not include Wake County, but everything north of that and on up into Virginia. So that northern tier, including Durham and Orange counties, under the red flag warning, where outdoor burning would be prohibited if you're in a place where you're allowed to do it. And of course, we have increased fire danger for the entire viewing area. We're looking at these breezy conditions and the low humidity. And that combination, if a fire gets going, that wind can carry it quickly. And so, again, you're asked, even if you're not in the red flag warning area, you're asked to limit any outdoor burning or just put it off for a few days. We do have rain in the forecast, which should ease that up and help to drop our pollen counts. We'll likely see rain developing Friday afternoon and lingering into much of Saturday. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll walk you through what we're looking at for the weekend.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center, following some breaking news, we've just learned that an adult was found with a loaded handgun at Pembroke Elementary School this morning. The individual apparently followed a parent into the building. It was immediately reported to 911. School staff contained the individual to the front office area, and a staff member was able to convince that person to turn over the handgun before they were escorted off campus by the SRO. No injuries were reported, and school was able to continue. They also said the individual did not issue any threats to any students or staff. The Robeson County Sheriff's Office is investigating this.
New at noon, more people in North Carolina and all across the country are living with Alzheimer's. That's according to the latest report from the Alzheimer's Association. The report that came out this morning showed over 210,000 people in our state and nearly 7 million across the country are living with Alzheimer's. Caregivers who were surveyed said providing care caused their own health issues. 59% reported having at least one chronic condition, including heart disease, cancer, diabetes, or stroke, compared to caregivers for non-dementia patients.
What we hear from a lot of caregivers is that they are so in the emotional and physical reality of caregiving for their loved one that sometimes their own health concerns take a back burner to that.
Caregivers reported their top five stressors are cost, coordinating with multiple doctors, making appointments, being able to take breaks, and finding doctors. NC State's chancellor will take questions virtually from the university community about Poe Hall. He's hosting a webinar next week, 4 months after that building was shut down because of toxic chemicals found inside. The webinar is happening Monday, March 25th from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. It will include the chancellor, a state epidemiologist, and a UNC Chapel Hill epidemiologist. Anyone who wants to send a question needs to have a Unity ID. Those are credentials for people at NC State. Poe Hall is expected to stay closed through at least the end of this year while the university works with agencies to figure out what people could have been exposed to when they spent time there. More than 130 people who worked or studied at Poe Hall have told WRAL's Five on Your Side they've been diagnosed with cancer. Many of those people are no longer with the university now, so they may not be able to submit questions to the webinar.
Parents of Wake County School students can now expect to get information sent home about how to safely store guns. The school board approved the launch of a new public awareness initiative last night. Law enforcement officers from cities and towns across Wake County stood in solidarity to show support for the campaign. Parents say this is an important step toward preventing tragedies.
And the more education that we can get out to our families, out in the community, about proper gun safety is so important.
And parents will get information several times each school year about how to properly store guns and the legal consequences they may face if they don't. That information will be shared through newsletters as well as in emails and through special events like the one this Saturday. Raleigh Police will be holding a gun safety event. It takes place at the Triangle Shooting Academy from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Gun owners will also have the chance to learn about proper gun storage. RPD and Wake County deputies handed out 1,000 gun locks at a similar event last summer.
Today, Durham Public School leaders will work on finding a new superintendent. The board will hold a special meeting today to interview firms to help lead the superintendent search. The meeting will get started at 5 this evening. Former Wake School Superintendent Caddy Moore is serving as Durham superintendent until the school board hires someone to fill the job. More than 6,000 Wake County school employees will get paid more often. The school board voted last night to pay hourly workers twice a month instead of monthly. This will affect about 6,300 workers. The change will happen in 2025.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is reiterating plans to launch an offensive in southern Gaza, even after President Biden warned against it. NBC's Raf Sanchez explains how Netanyahu's defiant tone is resonating with other countries.
Disagreements over Israeli plans to attack the city of Rafah are driving a wedge in U.S.-Israel relations right now. President Biden making very clear he opposes any major offensive in Rafah, where more than a million Palestinian civilians are sheltering. But speaking in front of the Israeli parliament, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sounding defiant. He says openly that there is an argument right now with the United States about Rafah, but he is determined to go in on the ground to destroy what he says are the four remaining Hamas battalions hiding in that city. He also says Israel needs to cut off smuggling tunnels through which Hamas has been bringing weapons from Egypt for more than a decade now. All of this comes as Secretary of State Antony Blinken arriving back in the Middle East today, his trip starting in Saudi Arabia. He's expected also to go to Cairo and to come here in Israel. He arrives as Canada announces that it is cutting off arms sales to Israel. That is causing a lot of anger across the Israeli government. Human Rights Watch and other organizations are urging the United States to do the same, saying Israel is violating U.S. laws around arms supplies. That is an allegation that Israel denies. President Biden has so far indicated that cutting off arms is not a step he's prepared to take. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Tel Aviv.
Pope Francis limited his public speaking today at St. Peter's Square due to lingering health issues. The Pope has mobility problems and has been suffering in recent weeks from colds and bouts of bronchitis. Today, the 87-year-old skipped reading most of his prepared text for the audience, instead letting an aide read it for him.
Next at noon, a controversial Texas immigration law on hold right after it was allowed to go into effect. What's at stake as an appeals court now hears the case?
Also, feast your eyes on this explosion. What scientists say will happen when this star bursts, and will we see it from Earth?
Plus, UNC basketball now knows who they'll be playing tomorrow at 12:30. An update as practice in Charlotte just wrapped up.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Breaking right now in the WREL Live Center, a third former Mississippi Sheriff's deputy has been sentenced for his part in the racist torture of two black men. Daniel Opdyke was just sentenced to 17 and a half years in federal prison. He is the third of six officers charged. They pleaded guilty last year to breaking into a home without a warrant and torturing two black men with a stun gun and other objects. He spoke in court. He said his isolation behind bars has given him time to reflect on how he transformed into the monster that he was that night. He said the weight of my actions and the harm that he caused will haunt him every single day. Again, he is sentenced to 17 and a half years in prison.
A federal appeals court has put a hold on a controversial Texas immigration law just a few hours after the Supreme Court allowed it to go into effect. The matter will be heard by the appeals court today, and NBC's Morgan Chesky explains what's at stake.
Yeah, good morning. The past 24 hours can only be described as legal backlash when it comes to that controversial immigration law, SB4, signed by Texas Governor Greg Abbott in December, but it has not yet gone into effect as a result of multiple things happening in the last day or so. The first, the Supreme Court deciding to lift the pause and allow SB4 to go into effect on Tuesday. But then just hours later, a lower court decided to reinstate that pause just before midnight. So as it stands right now, it is still on hold. The law itself empowers local law enforcement, police, sheriff's departments, state troopers, and gives them the ability to arrest migrants suspected of crossing the U.S.-Mexico border illegally. And it also gives judges the power to deport them back to their country of origin. Now, critics say this could open the door to potential racial profiling. And law enforcement that even is on the side of SB4 still doesn't know how exactly they would put it into practice, especially with certain departments across the state already stretched incredibly thin. Morgan Chesky, NBC News, Eagle Pass, Texas.
Tax season is here, and the IRS says it's ready. IRS Commissioner Danny Werfel says people calling into its call center are experiencing wait times of just 2 minutes or less. Werfel also says there is record traffic to IRS.gov because there are more tools there available to taxpayers.
We've added more tools. I mean, we've added more tools to IRS.gov in the last 2 years than in the previous 20. So there's a lot of, I think, positive reaction to the fact that the IRS is making progress in making the tax filing process easier.
The IRS considers your tax return filed on time if your envelope is properly addressed, postmarked, and deposited in the mail by April 15th.
The Biden administration is warning governors across the country to be on alert for cyber attacks targeting municipal water systems. Some water facilities lack even basic cybersecurity precautions. The U.S. water sector spans 150,000 public water systems. Local leaders have often struggled to find the cash and personnel to deal with threats from hackers. The Biden administration is also planning to ease restrictions on vehicle emissions for 3 years. That's because electric vehicle sales have not met expectations. After the three-year period, the standards will be equal to those set by the EPA. The auto industry says those standards are unreachable between 2027 and 2032 because there just aren't as many people buying the EVs. The benchmark is expected to reduce carbon dioxide emissions by 56% within the next 8 years.
NASA says a new star will shine as bright as the North Star when it explodes sometime between now and September. The Nova explosion will take place more than 3,000 light years away. And get this, NASA says you will be able to see it with your own eyes, without a telescope, for up to a week before it fades. This cosmic blast happens when a tiny white dwarf, which is the core of a dead star, is locked in the orbit of a giant red star. Such nova outbursts occur only about every 80 years. You can follow NASA on social media for updates on this once-in-a-lifetime chance to see this. And we'll keep you updated on that as well. Look at all the blue sky out there and lots of sunshine. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner out there on the WRL weather patio. It's also windy and breezy as well.
It is. I wanted to show you my anemometer here, which takes a look at the wind speed. And you'd be surprised. You know, a minute ago, it was moving around pretty well. But our winds so far have been 2 to 3 miles per hour. What you can't see is right in front of me is the side of the building. So we're at a really sheltered place. This instrument right here, you can see it looks like an airplane wing. That is the wind gauge. And so that shows us which direction the wind is blowing. And it's coming west southwest right now. Also, this white cylinder here is a rain gauge, temperature, and barometer. So that's nice. We can see sort of right here, right now, what the conditions are. We'll also take a look at the conditions at the airport. It is officially 64 degrees, and the dew point is 30. That dew point's come up a little bit. The number, if that were down even in the mid-20s or lower, we would consider that to be extremely dry. That's one of the reasons that we're under the red flag advisory, and we have high fire danger for today, is because definitely looking at a dry air mass. Still going to warm up nicely, though, looking at that high of around 70, 72 this afternoon. That red flag warning, again, is for our northern counties. It does include Durham County and Orange County up into Mecklenburg County, Virginia, and then east over toward Roanoke Rapids. So our northern counties, but all counties are under increased fire danger for today. So if you can put off that outdoor burning today, you may save there from being a wildfire. Let's take a look at those numbers again with the wind gusts. We're gusting anywhere from 16 in Roxborough to 23 over in Rocky Mount, 17 in Goldsboro, and our steady winds are at about 5 to 15 miles per hour. It's breezy out there. We'll continue gusting 20 to 25 this afternoon, maybe even up to 30 from time to time mid-afternoon. Checking the temperatures. We're in the low to mid-60s right now, 65 in Southern Pines, 63 in Goldsboro, 64 in Rocky Mount. So it is a very pleasant afternoon. I'll tell you, even though the anemometer is not spinning very fast, it is still kind of chilly in the breeze, so I had to put the jacket on. Our temperatures, though, compared to yesterday, anywhere from about 15 to 20 degrees warmer than yesterday. It's really feeling nice. Looking at 72 for the high today, 71 in Durham, and 73 degrees in Fayetteville. Checking that wind direction. Our winds are out of the southwest right now, bringing the warmth in, but a cold front crosses the area tonight, and watch how it shifts our winds early tomorrow morning. They turn blue and are coming out of the winds coming out of the north. That's going to cool us back down for tomorrow. Okay, we're going to toss it back to the anchors right now for a special report.
All right, Elizabeth, thank you. We're going to take you live now to RDU International Airport, where the plane carrying the First Lady, Jill Biden, just arrived. And once we go to that shot, you'll see her walking down there greeting the folks here in Raleigh as she is here to talk about women's health research. So after the stop at the airport here, she'll be heading to RTP to speak with folks there about the importance of women's health research.
Yeah, Governor Roy Cooper there on the end on the right with the rest of the dignitaries there welcoming her just a few steps early, but we wanted to get you that and also get you back to Elizabeth Gardner on the patio to finish up weather right now.
Oh, such a beautiful day for having guests in town, that's for sure. Temperatures in the mid-60s is normal for this time of year, so that 72 is definitely above normal. And then we drop down just below normal for tomorrow, as well as Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Friday and Saturday, of course, as we talked about at the beginning of the newscast, we have the potential for some showers. We're going to talk more about that coming up. Our spring high temperatures, this is the first full day of spring today, and they stair-step up nicely, 73 on the 15th of April, and the 80 degrees by May 15th. Of course, we don't see them, you know, with making that nice stair step day by day. We tend to see the ups and downs and ups and downs, and we're headed down a little bit for the rest of the week after today. Of course, what is up this time of year is the tree pollen, especially that pine pollen, that yellow pine pollen. It is everywhere. We also have mulberry, oak, and maple that are allergens that give people trouble. Tomorrow is going to be cooler at 61. We'll see mostly sunny skies, and then we'll see increasing clouds with a chance of showers Friday afternoon, some heavy rain Friday night and through the first half of the day on Saturday. And coming up, we're going to take a closer look at the timeline for the rain on Friday. It will be cooler too. Friday 58, 62 on Saturday. And even with some sunshine on Sunday, it'll be a cool day with a high of 58. And then we warm up a bit more for Monday and Tuesday.
Elizabeth, thanks. Behold, the world's largest plane ever. Some have nicknamed it the Skytanic. When it will start taking passengers.
Well, it's a change in seasons can motivate some people to tackle those projects they put off in wintertime. A psychologist explains why the act of cleaning a closet can benefit our mental health. A Colorado-based energy startup is building the largest plane in aviation history. The Windrunner airplane would enable the company to deliver massive turbines for onshore wind farms. It is so big that some are calling it the Skytanic. It'll have 261-foot wingspan and a cargo bay large enough to hold three Olympic swimming pools. Industry insiders predict this plane will start commercial operations as soon as 2027. Most people take a trip down the produce aisle to make healthier food choices, but a new report shows 95% of certain non-organic fruits and vegetables contain high levels of pesticides. The chemicals are linked to preterm births, heart disease, cancer, and other disorders. You can reduce pesticide levels by cleaning your fruits and vegetables with running water.
Software maker NVIDIA unveiled its newest chip for artificial intelligence. It named its next-generation graphics processor Blackwell. The CEO says NVIDIA spent about $10 billion to research and develop a faster, more energy-efficient chip. It's expected to be in hot demand for training and using AI software such as ChatGPT.
Anything you can digitize, so long as there's structure, we can probably learn some patterns from it. And if we can learn the patterns from it, we can understand its meaning. If we can understand its meaning, we might be able to generate it as well. And so, therefore, the generative AI revolution is here.
All in that chip. It will cost more than $30,000 per unit. The Blackwell chips will go out to companies like Amazon, Microsoft, Google, and Oracle.
Netflix, Disney, Hulu, Max. A new report found U.S. households subscribing to video streaming services spend $61 a month on average for the four services. That's a $13 increase from last year's survey. But researchers also report nearly half of those surveyed said they would cancel their favorite subscription if prices only went up by $5 a month. A bill to kill DEI in medical schools is up for consideration. We'll explain why one surgeon says race-based mandates are unnecessary.
Plus, WRL is your Hoops headquarters as we head into the NCAA tournament. Minutes before this broadcast, UNC men's head coach Hubert Davis and the players talked about tomorrow's matchup against the Wagner Seahawks. We'll tell you what the coach had to say. And here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Welcome back. First Lady Jill Biden just arrived at the airport, as we showed you minutes ago. This is video of her greeting some of the Governor Cooper there and the Raleigh and Durham leaders there on the tarmac. She's going to be headed to Research Triangle Park, where she's expected to arrive at any moment here. Her visit to the Triangle comes just days after President Biden launched the White House initiative on women's health research, pointing to a historic lack of funding for women's health issues. First Lady Biden is expected to discuss the need for this around 1:15. And we will be streaming her remarks on WRAL.com. Look for reports from Monica Casey beginning at 4 p.m. Well, the First Lady's visit comes ahead of a visit from President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris next week. We have 229 days to go until Election Day. WRAL conducted an exclusive news poll just after the primary. 50% of likely North Carolina voters said they would back Donald Trump, while 45% said they would support Biden. 5% of voters were undecided. You can find more results from our exclusive WRAL news poll in the NC Capital section of WRAL.com.
House Republicans are pressing ahead with an effort to ban diversity, equity, and inclusion policies in medical schools. The measure was introduced by North Carolina Representative Greg Murphy. Griff Jenkins explains why the legislation would eliminate all federal funding to institutions with those mandates.
DEI is dangerous everywhere, but it's most dangerous in medical school.
A warning from doctors and lawmakers on Capitol Hill who argue medical students are learning diversity, equity, and inclusion politics, or DEI, at the expense of life-saving care.
Precious classroom and clinical time is now devoted to such issues as climate change, homelessness, policing, and other social issues. The ideologues behind this trend don't want a doctor. They want lobbyists in white coats.
Dr. Stanley Goldfarb, a former associate dean at UPenn's Medical School and chairman of the Do No Harm group, supports a new bill unveiled today by a group of House Republicans.
Prescription pads and scalpels are now being weaponized.
Lead sponsor of the bill and surgeon of nearly 35 years, Representative Greg Murphy, seeks to cut off all federal funding to medical schools and accrediting institutions with race-based mandates and DEI practices.
In the past, students were admitted based upon merit, excellence, and aptitude. Sadly enough, those days are changing. When it comes down to patient care, DEI can even lead to harmful, if not deadly, consequences.
A recent survey by the Association of American Medical Colleges found 96% of 101 U.S. and Canadian medical schools are integrating DEI as a key learning outcome and incorporating it in their admissions process. But Dr. Goldfarb says that denies what matters most to the patients.
They don't want a level playing field. They want the best people caring for them.
As Griff Jenkins reporting, and as for where the bill may or may not be headed, it's unclear at this point if it can get the bipartisan support in the House needed or a co-sponsor in the Senate.
Some people who work at St. Augustine's University say the school is still behind on getting them their paychecks. WRAL spoke with a legal expert who tells us those employees may consider a class action lawsuit over the university's ongoing financial crisis. WRAL has reported extensively about St. Aug employees not getting paid. Some say they are now seeing those paychecks. Others are still waiting. The North Carolina Wage and Hour Act requires employers to pay their employees on their regular payday. Katie Abernathy of the Noble Law Firm in the Triangle spoke with WRAL about what employees can do if that does not happen.
You owe somebody $15,000 in unpaid wages. Liquidated damages would say they get that initial 15 and then they get another 15,000. I think a class action lawsuit is pretty readily foreseeable here.
Abernathy said paying employees on their regularly scheduled payday should be top priority for any employer.
Let the March Madness begin. All three Triangle Area College men's basketball teams, Duke, NC State, and UNC, will take the court tomorrow in the NCAA tournament. The Tar Heels just wrapped up a practice session, and WRL's Ken Smith joins us with what Coach Hubert Davis had to say about taking on Wagner College. Ken.
Jeff, could you feel the excitement in the air? The Tar Heels didn't have to travel far for the first round, just down the road to Charlotte at the Spectrum Center. UNC went from missing the NCAA tournament last year to secure a number one seed this year. In the news conference that wrapped up a short time ago, RJ Davis and Armando Bacot talked about being stoked about playing so close to home. They actually played at the Spectrum Center against Oklahoma in the Jordan Classic earlier in the season. As for Wagner College, that plays a slow offense, Coach Davis and the players say the key is playing Carolina up-tempo basketball, but be ready for anything.
When we do play a slow pace, we run our half court sets really well, we execute, so Whether it's slow pace or fast pace, we should be fine.
We got to limit our turnovers because it's kind of like playing against UVA where every possession really matters. But if we can get a big lead and they have to play faster, I think that'll help us too.
Well, the guys say they are happy to be back in the tournament. This is what you dream of, playing on the biggest stage in college basketball. Well, Coach Davis says they cannot take Wagner for granted. It's a well-coached team. They're confident. They shoot well. They have outstanding defense. Wagner, he says, has the Tar Heels' full attention, Jeff. And you know upsets happen in the NCAA tournament.
And we've seen 16 beat 1 in recent memory. Doesn't happen often, but you got to be aware. Thanks,
Ken. Yeah, Tar Heels don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
All stoked for the tournament. A new season may bring on the urge to clean and declutter. The best way to get started on your spring cleaning and why you'll be glad you did.
And a perk of spring cleaning, you make room for new stuff. How long Amazon is offering special deals on things for spring. Our team is working to bring you exclusive stories for coverage you'll find only on WRAL. Visit WRAL.com and search only.
What a beautiful Wednesday. Look at all that sunshine there on the lovely DBAP as the players get ready for the start of their season. You're watching WRAL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRAL app on your TV or streaming device.
Men who spend too much energy dealing with stress are at risk of earlier death. Too much stress can lead to depression, which in men often manifests as irritability, anger, hostility, aggressiveness, and risky behavior. Researchers say the lack of coping mechanisms resulted in a 14% higher risk of mortality. If you want to reduce your anger, you might want to avoid venting to a friend. Researchers say there's no scientific evidence to support the theory that blowing off steam helps. Instead, researchers say it's better to practice mediation, meditation, yoga, and deep breathing. This is because stress-relieving activities can help lower a person's fight-or-flight response.
Spring cleaning not only tidies up our space, it also benefits our mental health. Spring cleaning allows us to regain a sense of control and accomplishment, which can help with symptoms of depression and anxiety. One psychologist says simply cleaning out your closet can motivate you to take on other tasks or goals you've been putting off.
You start with one cabinet, right? Maybe one shelf in one cabinet, and you view that as your goal, and you see that through to completion. And what that does is it helps to build momentum. And that's where people begin to see the benefits of their efforts.
You know, when I want to tackle my pantry, it can be easy to get overwhelmed, right? So it's important to start with a small task first. Don't be afraid to ask a friend or family member for help either. Hubby, what are you doing? Asking for help and being able to receive it is a sign of strength. I'll let my husband know that.
Well, I have a clogged sink I'm taking care of. Construction workers stumble upon an incredible find, a statue that's nearly 2,000 years old. Find out where it was located after the break.
Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Kansas City Chiefs star Travis Kelce could help you find out the difference you'll notice if the deal is approved.
A Roman statue dating back nearly 2,000 years has been discovered by construction workers building a parking lot in the UK. Now, this backhoe driver uncovered the marble head of a Roman lady at 16th century country estate. Now, 2 weeks later, a bust was found close by that site of the original find. The relics were cleaned, examined, and reassembled. The estate believes the 9th Earl bought the sculpture during his tours to Italy, and in the 1760s brought it back. So how did this turn up there? Some speculate it was a result of a bungled burglary or someone discarded the statue, which later got covered by dirt. Kansas City Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce is reportedly in talks to host a reboot of the game, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? The original show was hosted by Jeff Foxworthy. It ran from 2007 to 2011. It was rebooted by Fox in 2015 and again in 2019 on Nickelodeon. Instead of a panel of fifth graders, though, the Kelce reboot would feature celebrity guests. And if the stars align, the show would stream on Amazon Prime Video.
Our teacher of the week is helping kindergartners learn two languages. WRL's Brian Schrader takes us to Lee County to meet an energetic educator who says she relies on parents to ensure student success.
Hirafa, hirafa.
Paula Matayana is a native of Colombia. Her sister is a teacher, and that inspired Matayana to follow in her footsteps.
I started working as a teacher with preschool. That was my first work, and I really love working in that area.
This is her second year at Tramway Elementary, teaching dual language immersion to kindergartners.
You can see that they are working, they are writing, they are learning, and it made me feel really happy.
A mother told me that her son had some attention issues in the first grade, and Ms. Matayana volunteers to tutor him after school a couple of days a week. Matayana says she's always working with parents to ensure her students succeed.
This nomination is just thanks to how we have been working together. So that's for them too.
You're the WRL Teacher of the Week. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
Let's clap our hands for Ms. Matayana.
In Sanford, I'm Brian Schrader, WRAL News.
And if you'd like to nominate a teacher, go to WRAL.com and enter Teacher of the Week in the search box.
Amazon's first ever big spring sale is underway. It's like Prime Day, but focused on seasonal items. The sale includes deals on spring fashion, fitness products, cleaning and yard work items. Some of the deals are up to half off. And you don't have to be a Prime member, but members do get some exclusive deals. The six-day sale runs through Monday.
Couldn't buy some of those warmer temperatures yesterday, but we got them today.
I'm telling you, yeah, it feels really nice out there. We had a quick warm-up after another chilly start, but it looks beautiful out there on the WRL weather patio, Elizabeth.
We're finally to the point. If the wind is not blowing, I really would like to lose the jacket. But the minute the wind starts to blow, I'm like, oh, I'm glad I have my jacket on. But it is really starting to warm up nicely out here. I love this shot here. This is a live look at Roxbury. And you can see the flag there on the courthouse lawn. And it is really flying. We're seeing gusts right now, 20 to 25 miles per hour. We're kind of sheltered out here. We talked about our anemometer that spins around and reads the speed of the wind. And out here, it's only been, you know, 2-3 miles per hour with some gusts only up to about 10 miles per hour. But we're definitely looking at some more blustery conditions in other parts of the region. Of course, just a reminder, we do have a red flag warning in our northern counties and fire danger for the rest of the viewing area. So you want to put off any outdoor burning. You may not have to put it off for long because we do have another good chance for rain at the end of the week. The rain's likely to start midday on Friday and last until at least the middle of the day on Saturday. It may just turn to showers Saturday afternoon. Saturday may be almost a washout kind of a day. This is going to be a coastal low, and so some of the heavier rain that we see with this is likely to be closer to the coast or in our eastern counties. Here's a look at what's happening. We've got this lovely flow coming out of the southwest. It's warming things up today, but watch this front. That front's going to swing through overnight tonight, rain-free, but it switches our wind behind it. Will end up being much cooler for tomorrow. Then we'll jump ahead to Friday, and we take a look at Friday, and you can see increasing clouds in the morning. We'll likely be seeing gray skies for the bulk of the day. This is a newer run of the models compared to what we saw this morning. And the timeline has slowed down a little bit. Looks like everybody's dry at noon. But by the time we get to the middle of the afternoon, we're starting to see some rain pushing in across the area. It becomes heavy overnight and sticks around. Now, this is, of course, the short range, high resolution version of the models. And we get a lot of detail on this, but it only goes out to 8 o'clock on Friday. Now, tomorrow at this time, we'll be able to go out to 8 o'clock on Saturday and really get a good handle on how long that rain is going to hang around on Saturday. This is a look at the longer range model, and it just doesn't have quite as much detail, but it definitely shows the rain for Friday evening and shows how much heavier it's likely to be on Saturday in the morning in particular. You can see how that heavier rain starts to taper off around lunchtime, but we'll push it on out all the way into the evening, and you can see kind of lingers at least some patchy light rain through the end of the day on Saturday. So if you did have outdoor plans, it may not really clear out Saturday afternoon. Sunday, though, on the other hand, looks nice and dry. We'll see partly cloudy skies and cool temperatures. Behind this front, we're still going to be on the chilly side. We check out the amount of rain. We're looking at as much as 1.5 to 2 inches in our western and central counties and as much as 2+ inches in our eastern counties. 50% chance on Friday, 80% chance. Probably going to bump that on up to 100% chance as we see those short-range models for tomorrow. Some cooler temperatures. temperatures after today's high of 72, 61 Thursday, 58 Friday, looking at 62 Saturday. And again, as I mentioned, with sunshine, we're still chilly on Sunday at 58, but some indication that we warm up a little bit next week. At least we'll be near normal on Monday and Tuesday and back to some sunshine.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Here's what you call getting a workout in between jobs. The product that one flexible burglar just couldn't refuse.
And here's a look at the winning Mega Millions numbers.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today.
Women's health research is the focus of First Lady Jill Biden's visit to the Triangle today. This is a live look at where she will be speaking. There she is alongside Governor Roy Cooper. Now, earlier this week, President Joe Biden signed an executive order aimed at pushing women's health studies by bolstering data collection and increasing funding. Look for a live stream of the First Lady's remarks that will be on WRAL.com.
More people in North Carolina and all across the country are living with Alzheimer's. That's according to the latest report out this morning from the Alzheimer's Association. It showed over 200.